say Jesus! 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 Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. As you take a seat, say hello to someone next to you. Tell them happy Easter and you're happy that they are here. Wow, wow, wow. Are y'all excited this morning? Yes. Wow, wow, wow. My name is Miles McPherson. I'm the pastor of The Rock, and it's an honor to be here today. Welcome all the visitors today. This is our sixth Easter, and God is blessing us tremendous ways. And I just want to say happy Easter. A couple of things before we have some special guests that want to say something to you. I just want to thank all the people who put this on, all the volunteers, all the staff. Let's give them a hand. Amen. And I know some of y'all came here, we were singing, all of a sudden there was rap up on the stage. Y'all like, what happened? Are those guys saved? Yes, they are saved. They go to The Rock. We have a little bit of everything at the church. And everyone's got a little different flavor. We are a church of many flavors. Want to make sure everyone gets a little taste of what they want. So we saw some of y'all bumping and some of y'all like, what's going on, honey? I don't understand. It's going to be like that in heaven, okay? There's going to be a whole bunch of different sections, okay? And I also want to encourage you, when you leave today, there are a bunch of people in red jackets, the elite security and event people, and the police out on the street. Bless them, pray for them, encourage them. Let's pray so much for those cops. They go home, they be glowing, okay? So when you see them, just thank them for what they're doing. Thank them for being here on Easter Day. We have some special guests. Come on up, my little friends. We got some little friends going to come up here. Okay. Okay, we're going to face that guy. See that guy right there? He's going to take a picture for your mom. Okay, look at all these. Okay. Now, are you Cameron? Or Julian?
Julian.
What's your name?
Julian.
Okay. Hold on a second. We got them on the camera. Can y'all see him on the camera? Okay. Face this way. I'm going to do this kind of professional. Yeah, there you go. What's your name?
Cameron.
And you're Julian. And you're?
Jade.
Now, this all started because I saw her hat. She was sitting behind me. I said, y'all got to see her hat. Look at that hat. I asked her, could I wear her hat when I spoke? And she said, no. So I said, well, I'll bring you up then. And then right before we came up, she said, do I have time to go to the bathroom? Women, okay. Sorry. This is Bryce. Say, how you doing, Bryce? Say, how you doing?
How you doing?
Okay, now, I told y'all a while ago, there was a young man who I had a meeting with who wanted to be a pastor. He was 5 years old at the time, and he sat in a chair. His feet were hanging from the chair, swinging. And I said, can you pray for me? Well, this is the brother right here. He wants to be a pastor, so... Amen. So usually when you have people who, you know, want to be a pastor, you want to break them in slow, you know, with like 5 people, 10 people they pray for. But we would figure we'd get him a jump start. He can pray for him in front of everybody at the Cox Arena. Is that cool? Okay, here you go. Grab the mic and pray. Let's all bow our heads.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you gave us. Thank you for... everything you did for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless him. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. You guys can go that way. Go ahead. There you go. Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand one more time. Six years ago, we had our first Sunday, February 27, 2000. About 50 weeks after that, February 15, 2001, we found out about a place in Point Loma to purchase. We are now in construction in Point Loma, Liberty Station, the old Naval Training Center. And when we acquired that property, there were a lot of people around town who questioned whether a church 1 year's old, 1 year old, could close escrow, complete the construction, and build it. those people were not from, we bought it from the McMillan Company. The McMillan Company has been very supportive of us. Corky McMillan, the founder, a very good friend, passed away last year. He was one of our biggest fans and was very encouraging to us. But there were other people outside of their company, just around town, who they're not going to be able to do it. They're not going to be able to do it. And I love that kind of stuff. You know, if someone tells you can't do something, you should be like, that's all the more motivation to do it. Amen? If you ever have someone tell you what you can't do, you know, don't get discouraged by it. Just step back and go, no, we can do that. Because there's always going to be people who say you can't do something. And when we closed escrow, which we did last September, a lot of those people had nothing more to say. And now they had to go back and think about all the other things we said we wanted to do as a church and reevaluate whether they were legitimate or not. Because now that we've closed escrow and we came up with all the money, et cetera, and we're in construction and it's happening, it's right on Rosecrans if you want to see it, they had to step back and say, maybe everything else that they said they wanted to do might happen as well. When Jesus Christ was in his ministry, he had a lot of people question him. Is he really God? Can he really forgive sin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the whole time he was going through ministry, people kept saying, well, maybe he's not legit. Maybe he's not really the Son of God. Maybe he can't really forgive sin. Maybe he really is not going to return after he dies. Maybe he really is not going to rise from the dead. But when he rose from the dead, everything's different now. Now, if you watch the news, there's a lot of people, a lot of things going on in the media, questioning the validity of the Bible, questioning the validity of Christ. The same arguments are happening today. Da Vinci Code. Jesus was married. Jesus wasn't married. I mean, he just wasn't married. There's no evidence in the Bible. It'd be like me saying George Washington had 19,000 wives. Where do I get that from? It ain't anywhere written anywhere. Just like there's nowhere written anywhere that Jesus had a wife. But yet people believe it because some guy wrote it down as fact. It's not fact. The Gospel of Judas, they write as fact. The Gospel of Judas was written 200-something years after everybody associated with Jesus, even Judas, was dead. Unlike the Gospels in the Bible, who were all written when all the people and eyewitnesses of the things written about were alive. Very big difference with those two things. They say Jesus is not God. Well, he said he was God 8 million ways. But all his life, and even to this day, he is being questioned. His validity is being questioned. Then they said he didn't rise from the dead. You know, people think that he went into a coma. He didn't die. They beat him to a pulp. They nailed him to this cross. They stuck him with a spear. His heart exploded. Water and blood came out. And he just fell into a coma. So they took him down and put him in a cave with a big rock and 12 soldiers. And he came out of his coma all by himself and walked around. You got to have more faith to believe that joke. Or that they say that he didn't rise from the dead. His disciples stole the body. Or Jesus hypnotized his disciples to make them think they saw him after he died. These are all the theories questioning Jesus. Is he really real? Is he really real? Well, when he rose from the dead, the true identity and the true legitimacy of his deity and his message was unveiled or revealed. When he rose from the dead, now all bets are off. And by the way, when he rose from the dead, he walked around for 40 days so people make sure they saw him. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at in the story. If you take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, we're going to see how they continue to criticize him, even as he was on trial. Now, some of you in here may have doubts about Jesus. In other words, maybe he wasn't the Messiah. And why couldn't he have a wife? And by the way, he could have had a wife. There's no big deal with him having a wife. That's not the point. The point is that the Bible doesn't say he never had a wife, and they had many opportunities to say he could have had a wife. That's not the point. He never had children. But you may have doubts about that. You may have doubts whether he could forgive sin. You may have doubts whether he died for your sin, whether he rose from the dead. But I want you to think about what you really believe today. And as we look at the fact that he did rise from the dead, as we look at the fact that he did do what he said he would do, I want you to reevaluate your relationship with Christ. Because if he's just something you think about when you get in trouble, somebody you pray to when things ain't going good, someone you say his name when you want to curse or something really goes, he shouldn't be that to you. What he wants to be and what he came to be is your Savior, your Lord, your God. Saying he was your best friend is to minimize it. It's far more than your best friend, because your best friend can get your back. Jesus gets your front, your side, your bottom, and your top. He's so much more than that. So I want you to think about really who is he in your life and what does the Bible really say he is? The Bible has been attacked for thousands of years and it still stands strong. Why? Because unlike any other book and unlike any other Savior, this book and this Savior literally transforms your life. And today, some of y'all are going to have an opportunity to have Christ transform your life. I was telling someone the other day, I used to get high right here. I used to live right down the street and do cocaine right on this campus before this was built. And there was a stadium here. Actually, some of the steps are still there. I used to run those steps doing cocaine. And it's so good to come back here, a whole new person. Every single one of you today can be transformed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through some verses. We're going to look at all these ways Jesus was mocked. Then we're going to take a communion. And then we're going to go into the resurrection. So we're going to take communion. If you have those little cups, y'all get that? Say amen if you got that. Very good. Let's look at Mark chapter 14, verse 16, verse 61. 14, 61. Mark 14, 61. The first thing they said, is Jesus really the Christ? They said he's not the Christ. Verse 1, it says, again, the high priest asked him, saying, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Verse 62, Jesus says, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and says, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard it, the blasphemy yourself. What do you think? And they condemned him to be deserving of death. When he first said he was the Son of Man, when he said he was going to come back after he died, they said he was lying. You're lying. You're not the Son of Man, and you're not going to come back. You deserve to die. Then in verse 65, we're going to see they question whether he could prophesy. In verse 65, it says they began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, prophesy. Basically, he said, if you're really God and you really can see the unseen, tell us who's hitting you right now. And they mocked him, and the officers struck him with the palm of their hands. So they blindfolded him and said, if you're really God, tell us who's hitting you. This is what our Lord went through. Next one, in chapter 15, verse 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. They mocked him, questioning him whether he was really king of the Jews. In verse 16, in chapter 15, it says the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together a whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they began to salute him, hail, king of the Jews. And they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, bowing the knee, they worshipped him as in mocking him. So they brought him into a whole garrison of soldiers and they hit him and they spit him and they hit him with reeds and they put a robe on him and said, yeah, hail, king of the Jews, mocking him, mocking him. You're not really the king of the Jews. Look at verse 29. They mocked him as someone who couldn't save himself. It says they passed by and blasphemed him as he was on the cross, wagging their heads. Aha. You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking among themselves with the scribes, saying, he saved others. He himself he can't save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified reviled him. So here he is on the cross, dying. And they're saying, how are you going to save the world? You can't even save yourself. How are you going to come back and deliver us from our sin? You can't even come off that cross. So all Jesus' life, people say, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. And here he is on the cross, beaten to a pulp, whipped, nailed, beat, beard pulled out, punched, thorns in his head, spit on, mocked, betrayed, everything all of us would avoid like the plague. Why? Because every single one of us is a sinner. And the penalty for our sin is death. And Jesus Christ came to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. All throughout the Bible, from the first book of Genesis, chapter 3, all throughout the Bible, God taught and illustrated that if you were going to have your sin forgiven, you had to shed blood. In the Old Testament, there was blood of animals. That's why they had to do it over and over and over again, because the blood of animals do not pay for sin completely. So all throughout the Bible, we were taught, you have to kill somebody, or something has to die to pay for your sin. Jesus Christ came, And Jesus Christ says, I am going to die and shed my sinless blood one time forever to pay for all sin. So the whole time he was going to the cross, when they were mocking him, when they were lying to him, betraying him, beating him, spitting on him, he was on a mission. And no matter what they said or did to try to discredit him, he was never going to be deterred from his mission. And here he is on the cross, and they're saying, come down from the cross. Let's see if you're really God. I wish I could know what he was thinking. If it was me, I'd be like, you just wait. Come Sunday, y'all gonna be running. Go ahead and laugh now. Go ahead and laugh now. Whenever someone's criticizing you and telling you God can't do in your life what God said, you don't gotta say anything. The best revenge is success. And here's Jesus on the cross going, I have to die, but I am gonna come down. And you know what? It don't matter what I say. Watch what I do. What I want you to do right now, I want you to take out that little cup before we get into the resurrection story. And I want you to be very careful, by the way. I know you got your Easter goods on. This juice is grape. Take out that little wafer first. While Jesus was on the cross, his body was beaten. His body was torn. His body was nailed. And he tells us when we take communion to remember that his physical body was beaten, torn, nailed, ripped. So we can have a vivid picture of how painful it was and how real the price for our sin is. So as we pray and take this bread that is representative of Jesus' body, I want you to remember that he did it for you. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you that you died for us. We thank you that you allowed your physical body to be punished for us. And we acknowledge that. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take the bread. Now you can open that cup. Very careful. Little kids, let your mommy help you. All throughout the Bible, it says that without bloodshed, there is no forgiveness of sins. And the reason Jesus Christ died the way he did was, one, our sin deserved the most brutal punishment. But two, he had to shed his blood. The life is in the blood. Ironically, the Bible says that 1,000 years before man and modern medicine discovered it. So when we take this juice, we're acknowledging that Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sin, and his blood was full payment for our sin. Lord, we thank you so much that you shed your blood for us. And we acknowledge that your blood is sufficient to cleanse us of our sin. In Jesus' name, amen. So all through Jesus' life and all through Jesus' trial and his beating, he was mocked and questioned and criticized. Then he dies. They put him in a tomb. They guard the tomb and seal it and guard it with 12 soldiers. Why? Because they were scared that he would make good on his promise. Jesus lays in the tomb. No stone can hold him. No soldiers can guard him. When he wants to come out, he's coming out. And so here we go. Mark, chapter 16, verse 1. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Saturday night is over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week. What does that mean? Sunday morning. The reason we have church on Sunday morning every week in this world is because of this occurrence happened on Sunday morning. It says, very early in the morning, on Sunday morning, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. This was an angel. Can you imagine seeing an angel? Just say no. You don't want to know. It will freak you out. Supernatural being just sitting there, chilling. What y'all want? Where's Jesus? Look what he says. Verse 6. Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. Everyone say he is risen. He is not here. Say he's not here. See the place where they laid him. Say, see the place where they laid him. The angel said, he ain't here. He got up. Look at the proof. If you go to Israel today and go to any one of the four or five tombs that they see Jesus rose from, he ain't there. You know what's so funny about that? You go there and you stay in this long line and pay a dollar or $2, maybe three now, I don't know. And if here's a little tiny, tiny, tiny thing like, you know, size of your little bathroom or closet, and you walk in there and you do this. Nope, he ain't there. Then the next person goes, nope, he ain't there. How many same men have you been there? Wow, y'all need to go there. And you know what you're going to see? Nothing. People fly from all over the world to see nothing. You know what's so ironic about all these people who criticize Jesus? All they got to do, go find his body. And we can throw the Bible away. Go find Jesus' body and we will throw the Bible away. For real. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, this Bible is not legit. He's still dead. So you go there and the angel says, he ain't here. There's three things that have been revealed to us now that he rose from the dead. Look what it says. The first one's right here. It says in verse 7, go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Everyone say, just as he told you. Say it one more time. One more time. Take a deep breath in. Say, just as he told you. You know what the angel said? Jesus keeps his promise. He says, Mary, go tell the disciples that Jesus keeps his promise. You could criticize him all your life, and when they saw him dying, they would probably think, we finally got him. Oh, no. Let me tell you something. You may be going through hard times today. Jesus keeps his promise. Jesus says, I've come not to be served, but to serve and give my life for ransom. He really did give his life for ransom. In John chapter 16, verse 7, it says, I tell you the truth, it is for good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counsel will not come to you. For if I go, I will send him. Christ says, not only did he come to die and give his life for ransom, he also said he's going to send the Holy Spirit to live in us. In Matthew 11, 28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Jesus Christ says to you today, I died for you. When he says to you today, come to me and I will take your burden and I will give you my burden that is easy and light. Come to me today and I will forgive you of all your sin, cleanse you, fill you with my Holy Spirit, transform your life. He keeps his promises. Anybody who rises from the dead, what else does he got to do? You know, it's one thing to die for somebody. The Bible says there's no greater love that a man could have for another man except to die for his friends. When you die for somebody, that's a whole lot of love. That's the ultimate sacrifice to give your life. But when you rise from the dead, that's a whole different ballgame. Because now everything that person who rose from the dead said is true. Because that person can overcome death. That person can overcome death in your life, can overcome the impossible in your life, can overcome your nightmares in your life. That's the person you want to trust. All these people who are criticizing Christ and saying don't believe in Christ, what are they giving you in return? Trust in yourself? You're going to die. You're going to die. When I went to college, my best friend said he was going to get a dog. Because all of us went to college. He's the only one that didn't go to college. He said, I'm going to get a dog. I said, what happens when your dog starts chasing a car? And the car's going in the opposite direction of the dog. And the dog gets killed. K-I-L-T. Dead. D-E-D. What are you left with? My friends, what are you left with? When you have a Savior that says to you, I will rise from the dead, and that Savior rises from the dead. When you have a Savior that says to you, I'm going to come back in 3 days, and he comes back in 3 days, now you have to reevaluate everything else he said to you. Because everything else he said to you is now true. One, that you're a sinner. Two, that the penalty of your sin is death. And three, that he came to die for you. And that he came to forgive you. He came to fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you a whole new life. Now you have to reevaluate that. The next thing you have to reevaluate is that we really, really must trust him and live by faith. Jesus tells us, the just shall walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus says, I am going to die, and I am going to rise. And I'm going to ascend to the Father, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to live in you and transform your life, and when you die, I'm going to bring you to heaven. You have to trust him. You have to trust him. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. When Jesus rose from the dead, he says, why didn't y'all believe? He didn't say y'all, that's my word. He said, why didn't y'all believe? Why don't you believe God? Well, because he doesn't do what I want. He's not a good luck charm. He rose from the dead. He walked around for 40 days. He ascended to heaven. His disciples are transformed. The church exploded worldwide. The worship day was changed to Sunday. We can't find his body. His lives are continually to be changed to this day. And he says, you have to trust me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, everyone say believes. Believe. Say believes. Believe. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes who sent me has eternal life. Say believes. Believe. Say believes. Believe. John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from with them. Say believe. Believe. Say believe. Believe. John chapter 20, after Jesus rose from the dead, he went into the room where doubting Thomas was, and it says, Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God, when he saw the nail prints in his hands and the spear print in his side. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe. My friends, you have to believe that you are a sinner. Look at the evidence. You're going to die. You have to believe that the penalty of your sin is death. Look at the evidence. You're going to die. You have to believe that you are an eternal being. You have to believe that there's a hereafter away from God and with God. Away from God is called hell. With God is called heaven. And you have to believe that God, who created all the heavens and the earth universe, is an organized God and has a plan and sent his son to die for your sin, that he died and rose from the dead. And you have to believe that today he knows you very intimately. He loves you very deeply. And he wants to forgive you very completely. You have to believe that. And you have to believe that nothing you've ever done is so bad he won't forgive you. I stand here today, can't believe I'm standing here today in front of you. Why? Because I am a sinner. And I did all the bad things you can imagine. Right here in this spot. And God said, are you ready to give it up? Yes, Lord. He says, that's all I want to know. You have to believe. You have to believe today that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, he will forgive you today. And he will remember your sin no more today. And he will transform your life and your heart and give you a whole new start in your life right now. God is in the life-changing business. It's not about religion and formality. So first, you must believe that he keeps his promises just as he said. And everything he said is just as he said. Number two, you must believe that you must believe. Some of us want too much proof. Faith. Faith is the substance of what you hope for. The evidence of the proof you don't have. We have enough proof. Look at all the people around you. You have enough proof. Look at all the people in the world. Amen. All the people around you whose lives have been changed. We have enough proof. We can't find the body. We have enough proof. All the disciples, apostles, and Christians who died for their faith because of what they saw and what they believed. The third thing, you have to believe that Jesus is still serious about his mission. After he rose from the dead, here's what he told them in verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe is condemned. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, drink everything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know what Jesus says? You have to believe me that when I died and rose from the dead and give you my Holy Spirit, now I'm talking to all you people who claim to be Christians, go tell people. Take me serious. Don't worry about what they're going to say, what they're going to think. Don't worry about, trust me. Don't just trust me for yourself. Trust me for someone else. Trust me for the people you don't even know. Trust me for those police officers out there, the people you're going to see when you go eat brunch, wherever you're going to go eat brunch today. Trust me for the people you're going to see at work tomorrow. Trust me for the people you're going to see at school or at the gym or wherever you go. Trust me. Go tell them that I'm alive. Go tell them that I love them. Go tell them that I have a plan for their life. And that's why we're here today. Because there may be somebody here this morning. You are like this. You doubt. What about the Da Vinci Code? What about this? What about that? Come on. Dan Brown's a man. He's one of us. He ain't Jesus. Jesus is saying, trust me. Give me an opportunity. What did that alcohol do for you? What did those drugs do for you? What did that sexual immorality in your life do for you? All the money, the cheating, the lying? Nothing. Trust me. Give me an opportunity. In a few minutes, we're going to pray. And here's your opportunity this morning. Jesus is risen. How do we know? Where's his body? It's gone. He's risen. So everything else he said has to be reevaluated. All the legitimacy has been validated. It's been revealed to us that he really was God. And he says to you today, right now in this place, you're a sinner. The penalty of your sin is death. You must die. And you will die. But your soul doesn't have to die. That I have come, Jesus, not to be served and worshiped only, but to die and rise from the dead to pay for your sin. And today, if you confess with your mouth that I am Lord, believe in your heart that I rose from the dead, and you receive me as your Savior today, I will forgive you just as I said. And today I will begin a transformation process in your life just as I said and just as I've done in millions and millions of people. So right now I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes and listen very, very carefully, very, very intently to what I have to say. Eyes closed, heads bowed. And we're going to ask everyone just to sit down. The counselors could just stay where they're at for right now. Everyone just stand still, sit still, just for 1 minute. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of that sin is death. If this morning you believe you are a sinner, if this morning you believe that the penalty of your sin is death. If this morning you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died and rose from the dead for your sin, and if this morning you are saying, I want God to forgive me of my sin, I want to ask you by faith to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe those things to be true. Deep in your heart, you must believe those things to be true. And as you pray, believe me true, that Jesus Christ is cheering for you, the angels are cheering for you, because for this moment you were created. So in your heart, if you would like Christ to forgive you of your sin this morning, in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer, not out loud, in your heart, pray, dear God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, and I believe the penalty is death. But I believe Jesus loves me, that he's Lord, that he died, and he rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please take over my life this morning. I want to be saved from hell. I believe you're alive, and I believe you love me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing up, you are acknowledging, yes, Jesus has forgiven me today. You are acknowledging that you are resurrecting a new person as you stand up. You are resurrecting and standing as a person who's now been forgiven, cleansed, and you belong to Jesus. You don't have to worry about who's to your right, to your left. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'm going to be ashamed of you. By standing up, you are saying, yes, Lord, I now belong to you. No more religious games. No more spirituality, mythical stuff. I have a relationship with the living, loving, risen, resurrected God. So as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed all around this room, if you prayed that prayer with me just now, eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand to your feet and acknowledge Jesus in your life. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Eyes closed. Heads bowed. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Some of you, your heart's racing because your heart's saying, don't pass this opportunity up. This is what it's been waiting for all its life. Anybody else, stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Eyes closed. Heads bowed. Be praying for these people. There are some of you who are sitting, and in your heart, in your mind, you're saying, I don't need this. I've been a good person. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. You may be a wealthy person. You may be a poor person. You may be a popular person. None of that means anything to God. You may be a person that says, you don't know how much sin I have. Oh, yes, he does. God says, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whoever would believe in me will have eternal life. So we're going to take one more minute. If you haven't stood up, please straighten those legs and your body will rise. Stand to your feet like Jesus did 2,000 years ago and give your life. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Now we're going to do one more thing, and I want you to listen very carefully. All y'all who are standing, if you could just look at me, but don't sit down yet. Look at me. You're going to have to, we're going to give you some instruction. We want to talk to you. We want to give you some material. and we want to celebrate with you. So in a minute, we're going to ask all of you to come out of your seat. And what you're going to do, we have two exits. You can't congregate around the stage. We're going to ask you to walk out one of these two exits into the back. And we have people who want to talk with you and share some materials with you. I wrote a book called 21 Jumpstart. It'll tell you what to do now that you're saved. So in a minute, when we ask you to come down, wherever you're at, you're going to come down and you're going to walk through these tunnels and the counselors will show you where to go. What the rest of us are going to do, and I want you to, all of us to hear, to pay close attention to this, because this is why we came. We are going to cheer louder and more enthusiasm than any time before. So everybody, wait. All the people who are standing, when they start walking, we're going to cheer. All the people who are standing, we're going to come down and you're going to walk through those tunnels, right through those two tunnels. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Come out of your seat. Amen. Go right here. Amen. Go right there. Go right there. Come on down out of your seat. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Amen. Come on down. Come on down. Let's give him a hand. Come on. Let's give him a hand. All the way around. Come on down. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Amen. Come on down. Let's keep cheering. Come on now. We got energy. Let's encourage them. It's a long walk. Amen. Amen. Keep coming. Keep coming. They got to fight. Let them through. Let them through. Let them through. Come on down. Come on. Let's keep cheering now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep coming. Come on. Let's keep cheering. Come on. Come on down. Come on down. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Come on down. Let him through. Let him through. Come on down. Come on down. They keep coming. They're still coming. Come on. They're still coming. Come on. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. Let's keep cheering them. Come on. Let's keep cheering them. They're still coming. Come on. Who's the man? Who's the man? They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. Come out. Come out. Come out. They're still coming. They're still coming. Come out. Come out. Come out. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Let me say, oh, we're still coming. They're still coming. I think they're still coming. Come on, we can't get tired. Don't get lazy on me now. Don't get lazy on me now. Say Jesus. Jesus. Come on. Come on, one more round. 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 This is why you need to run. This is why you need to work out so we can clap, so we can praise Him. Yes. Amen. Say amen. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Come on down. Still coming. They're still coming. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. One more, even though it's one. Come on, even though it's one. Come on. One more, one more. Y'all tired? Before we sing a song, I want to pray for you. And let me tell you, if you don't have a church, there should be information in your bulletin. We have 6 services on the weekend. It's not here. You got the directions, but God bless you. Remember, He's alive. You have nothing to fear. The Bible's true. It changes lives. Trust it. Don't wait till Christmas to come back to church. And don't wait till next year. In the next coming weeks, we're going to be looking at the Da Vinci Code, the Gospel of Judas, and all that stuff you're seeing in the news. We're going to look at what the Bible says and what the facts really are. Don't read a book that tells you it's factual and let it trump the Bible. That's the oldest trick in the book. A liar, the devil, can't tell the truth. So in the next couple weeks, we're going to be telling you why all that stuff you're reading about and going to see in the movies is completely bogus. And equip you to talk to people about it so you know what the facts are. Amen? As Jesus said, we must go and tell. We need to know what to tell. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you that you rose from the dead. Thank you that you are real. And that you're alive and that you love us. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our midst at this church. And I pray, as we look around and see this crowd, that we will remember Luke 12:48. For to whom everyone much is given, much is required. You have given us an amazing ministry. It's all yours. But with it, we have an amazing responsibility. And I pray we would take that responsibility very serious. And that we would truly tell people about who you are and righteously represent you in our life. Thank you. For being so good to us, better than we deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Go pray for those cops outside, amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen.